you can visit our website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. Now, since budget, there has been lots of talk about cuts in respite care and disability allowances, but for most people, the reality of being in a wheelchair will never impact on them. An interesting experiment, the third-year psychology students from DCU in Dublin decided to find out what it is actually like to face daily life in a wheelchair. Brenda?
Yeah, a very interesting experiment a couple of weeks ago. I met with three students who are in third year studying psychology in DCU with their lecturer, Dr. Michael Caine, and he lectures in psychology there. And as part of their actual module, part of their psychology exams, psychology illness and disability module, they actually had to do this, I suppose, to show the empathy, to show the difficulty, to see what life is like and how they themselves relate to it. So I met them as they went about Dublin city centre. Very interesting. The three of them were Anya Marr. She's from New Ross, very active, likes to play rugby. Jamie Gallagher from the Glenties. He's actually on the under-21s Donegal football team, so he'd be somebody who'd be extremely active as well. And Dominique Young, she's from South Dublin. Now, she has an older sister who's in a wheelchair, so she has some practical experience of having a family member in a wheelchair. So we all met up. We met up in the Gresham Hotel in Dublin, and I brought along our own Olin McGowan, who is a producer on the Mooney programme show here, and himself a wheelchair user. So I thought if anybody was to tell it to them straight and give them genuinely useful tips, your only man is Olin McGowan. So we all met up. We had three or four tasks that we were going to do. One was to visit the Garden of Remembrance in Dublin, get money out of a bank link. Well, that wasn't a task, but it came up as we were going about our journey. Buy some gloves in a shop. We happened to go into Penny's in O'Connell Street. Could have been any shop, but Penny's was the one we chose to go into. And go along Temple Bar, get a coffee, get a pint, just travel along that area. You can imagine with the cobble streets, not the easiest of tasks to do. So anyway, we were in the Gresham. It was a bit chilly outside, and Olin told them what's for.
I think it's brilliant what you're doing. Just bear in mind a couple of things. Wheelchair users vary enormously in their levels of ability. You guys would probably be at the upper end in terms of the strength. You have your full body strength, you have your torso, you have your arms. And even though you mightn't feel like the strongest necessarily able-bodied person, you're sitting in wheelchairs now, you've got full body strength. So it's impossible for anybody to know 100% the position. I couldn't know what it's like to be a pregnant woman. So you are never going to know 100%, but it's a great exercise to do anyway. What I would say is try as much as possible to say, this is my only option of getting around town. These four wheels that I'm sitting in right now. And if you fall out, chair, you have to think, well, how would somebody like myself get it back up again? I wouldn't be able to just jump back on my feet and I would have to see, is there anybody around that can physically, like gather a few guys around who can physically lift you up into the chair? It doesn't happen very often. You don't see wheelchair users falling out of their chair every day. But bear in mind that if it does happen, you know, you've got to say, well, what do I want to do to address this situation? The other thing is sometimes you have to make tough choices. You might want to go into a shop and it mightn't be accessible. You might get a puncture. It makes your chair an awful lot more difficult to push. You still have to go and fix it. It's December and it's cold. I always wear gloves to push the wheelchair because they grip onto the chair. Couple of tips. I'll keep this brief. As far as practical, if you're going down Grafton Street or O'Connell Street or on a pavement, keep a straight line. If you start to say, I need to go around people and I need to, like, somebody's walking towards me, I need to avoid them, you'll spend forever getting from one place to the other. You can do more damage to them than they can do to you. So if somebody's going to walk into you, let them walk into you and be it on their head. You know what I mean? On a narrow pavement, keep close to the wall. You don't want to let pedestrians force you outwards towards the curb, because if your left hand or right hand wheel falls off that curb, you're on the road and that's not good. You have certain enemies as a wheelchair user. It's important to know them. Doggy poo is one of them. So if it gets on your wheels, it gets on your hands. So know your enemies. Sorry to be so graphic. You will find, whether you like it or not, that vagrants, junkies, whatever you want to call them, they are suddenly going to become your best friends. They will come up and they say, you and me, bro, it's against the world. You know, it's the bonding of the downtrodden and all like that, whether you like it or not, sometimes it's not easy to escape them. Finally, there are upsides, believe it or not, to the chair. You won't get assailed by and large by charity muggers. And if you skip a queue, nobody's likely to make a fuss. So you can kind of take the wee-wee sometimes, as they say.
Well, Olin, thanks very much. Anya, Jamie, Dominique, are you ready?
Yeah, let's go do this.
All right, let's go out in the streets. Let's see what it's like. Right, guys, we've taken over the path here just outside the Gay Theatre in Dublin, and we're going to go on up to the Garden of Remembrance. Are you ready?
There's a big hill up here, and it's looking fairly intimidating at this stage, so I'll see how it goes.
How are your arms? Are they sore yet?
My fingers are really, really sore, just the tips of my thumbs. And I found it really hard to get across the road. It was just really quick, like the amount of time that you have to actually get across the road. All the roads are kind of a little bit of a hill up and then a little bit of a hill down, and you just don't notice it unless you're in it.
How are you, Jamie?
Bit of tired. I think a pit stop may be in order here halfway up the hill.
Really? Do you find it tiring going up this hill?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You'd think that you'd be fine and you were all right for the first hour or two, but after that your arms start to really get aching and tired. I think anyone on a wheelchair that has to do this on a day-to-day basis would have real, real good upper body strength, and you don't really appreciate that when you're looking at them, how strong they must be to do what they have to do.
Now, Michael, the lecturer, has a hand on each of the girls' wheelchairs. Is it that hard, Dominique?
It's really tough. Like, we've only been it for a couple of hours and my arms are in bits already.
My fingers are really cold and they keep hitting off the spokes. So that's really, really painful.
But we're not at the Garden of Remembrance yet. We're still approaching it. My God, they've slowed down much more. Are you all right, Anya?
Yeah, I think my wheelchair tends to like go to one side. Yeah. So I kind of drift off. So that's kind of difficult to resurrect again.
Oh, we've just made it to the Garden of Remembrance. I feel out of breath and I'm not in a wheelchair.
Certainly, I don't even think I can talk. I'm breathing that hard at the moment. Lower kind of level than everyone else, so it almost feels that everyone's nearly looking over your head. It's a strange experience. And I suppose you almost feel like a child, that you're kind of at this low level and you're almost inconsequential. And it's all right to experience it now, but I'd say if this was like this all the time, you'd probably find it more difficult.
It's only steps down to the actual fountain part.
Yeah, well, I think what comes apparent here is that the Queen visited Ireland. One of the big deals she did was coming to the Garden of Remembrance. But if she was in a wheelchair, I don't think that would have been possible. So kind of puts it in perspective for you that even kind of touristy things, just they're not possible if you're going around in these four wheels.
OK, let's go on with the next task. I am absolutely bitterly cold. I'm buying a pair of gloves in pennies. Do you need anything, Jamie?
I think I might go for a pair of gloves myself. I'm finding it very cold.
Yeah, I bet. This is interesting. We're just at the top of O'Connell Street. We're crossing the road over here. There's a bank machine with quite a long queue. Do you need money out, Dominique?
I do, yeah. So I'm going to try skip the queue and get money out, see what happens.
Now, Olin said that this is an advantage.
Yeah, he did. He said that you get to skip queues when you're in a wheelchair, so I guess we'll try it out.
There are seven people in the queue for two Banklink machines here at the top of O'Connell Street. You are going straight to the top and you're going to try and skip it. A guy's just become free there. She's just skipped the queue and jumped ahead of seven people. I'm just going to have a look around at the reaction. They're all looking at you, but nobody said anything. How do you feel?
Kind of scared right now.
You didn't like doing that, did you?
No, it feels like I'm cheating in a way, skipping everybody. I can't reach my card into the bank link. I had to lean forward out of the chair to get my card in. It's impossible to get your card in without getting out of it.
Okay, so now can you punch your number in? I won't tell anybody what it is. Yeah, you can reach that. Okay.
Yeah.
Would you like more time?
I would like.
Can you reach up to yes over there?
I can't read what's on the screen because I'm too low down.
Okay, enter your PIN. Transaction cancel, take your card. You only enter 3 digits.
I typed the wrong number in because I couldn't see the keypad well.
Okay, put it back in again. Just put her card back in again. People are getting frustrated in the queue.
Oops. One.
Enter your PIN again. Okay, choose a transaction. I'd like money, please. You can't read the screen, can you?
No, I can't really see what's on it. There's a shine off it because I'm too low down.
I think you want cash withdrawal. Would you like more time? I'm just going to press yes. Can you reach the very top button, which is your cash withdrawal option?
Only if I lean out of the chair. I can't reach it otherwise.
Okay, you can't lean out of
no,
the chair.
No, I can't reach the buttons to get cash out. I'd leave it. I'm not able to get
it. Okay. Do you want me to press no for you and get your card back?
Yes, please.
We better move away because the queue is building here.
Dominic, your thoughts on that, please.
Well, I'm in town, I need money, but I couldn't get it out because, first of all, I couldn't get my card in without getting out of my chair, and I couldn't see what was on the screen, and I also couldn't push any of the buttons to get the money out. So I just kind of had to leave it and go without money now.
I'll buy you a coffee, come on.
Thanks. Just feels like I can't do things. It feels like I'm less independent. It feels like I have to rely on other people to do things for me.
Just heading to Penny's now, Anya. What are you after doing?
I crashed into an old man's ankles just outside the GPO. So he didn't even turn around, but I just said sorry to him and he just kept going. So
it's hard to manoeuvre it sometimes, isn't it?
It is. It's because the paths are like slanted to drain off water. We find that all of them are tilting to one side. So like one of my arms is working an awful lot harder than the other one.
It's actually starting to drizzle a wee bit here, so that can be a bit awkward. Just imagine the water pooling under my seat, it would be horrible.
We are outside Penny's here on O'Connell Street. We're going in, Jamie, you need...
a pair of gloves. Hands are freezing.
OK, and I need a pair as well.
Let's go try our best here.
Oh, it feels lovely and warm just walking in, doesn't it?
Right, so straight away I'm noticing that there's lots and lots of people and there's not much room to manoeuvre, so I feel like I'm a serious obstruction already. I'm a bit like the centre of attention here and it's getting a bit weird. Everyone has to have a wee glance at you when they're walking past.
Jamie, I feel like leaving you here and doing a bit of shopping myself. No, I'm only joking, only joking.
I think I'd panic if I was left on my own, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, you'd like to have someone beside you just in case anything happens. So, yeah, it'd be brilliant. It'd be brilliant maybe just to kind of always have someone by your side, which is also a... kind of, you lose that bit of independence, don't you, when you're on the wheelchair? Mm. So, yeah, that's definitely something that's becoming apparent, just even being Penny's here.
Are you all right?
No, I'm after hurting my thumb. I'm after getting a kind of a blister, or kind of a welt thing on it. I think it's from braking coming down the hill, because we were going a bit too fast and I had to pull more on one wheel. So, yeah, it's really sore.
It's hard going, isn't it?
It's hard going, it is.
Okay, the lift has just opened and it's full of people.
They don't seem to want to get out, so...
Well, now, one is getting out. You need to barge in. This is what Olin says. Pull it again, the door's closing. Okay, we've just lost the lift there because, Jamie, you didn't barge in.
I didn't barge in, yeah. I'm finding it very hard to just go on ahead and... I'm just still kind of caught. I'm trying to be mannerly, but I suppose you just kind of have to go on ahead. It's not going to work otherwise.
No, we're just at the queue. We have a problem.
The queue's a bit narrow now. It's going to be hard for me to try to wheel myself and kind of fit in this small space while I'm here. I'm starting to get a bit claustrophobic here.
Are you really?
Yes, well, everything's closed in around you and you kind of don't have that freedom to kind of stretch about, move yourself, so that's a bit difficult. Well, first thing I'm noticing is that the till seems to be at a high level, so it's going to be very hard for me to kind of reach over and get the things I want. See how that works out when I get over there. Let's go for this now. Take those gloves, please, thanks. Bit of a stretch trying to get over the till.
We're still at the till, Jeremy.
We're still at the till. I was just trying to get the money back in my wallet and everything back in my pocket and moving away here. But it does feel, you feel like you're kind of slowing everyone down behind you, which is a kind of a strange experience. So you kind of feel like you're wrong place, wrong time or something like that.
On you, Dominique, Jamie. We made it safely out of the shop. Now, this could be any shop. It just happens to be Penny's. Dominique, did you purchase?
No, I didn't buy anything, but my bum is getting a bit numb from just sitting here.
When we were in Penny's, though, the amount of people who just stare at you, yeah. And especially even when we were just going around by ourselves, as opposed to in the group, that people do blatantly kind of just stare in. It's kind of rude, to be honest. Oh, you feel very self-conscious, like, and you feel that you're very in the way.
Anya, Dominique and Jamie, it's been a genuinely fascinating morning with you. But Anya, can you tell me, what are your thoughts on your experience so far?
I felt an awful lot of kind of embarrassment over the course of the day, because you really are like a sceptical of, like, people just want to have a look at you, really.
Dominique, can I come over to you? You were telling me that your older sister has a brain injury, yeah. And she's in a wheelchair, yeah. And you thought you knew everything about wheelchairs.
Yeah, I thought I knew what it was like to sit in a wheelchair, but today really changed my mind. And I found it really physically challenging for my arms, but I thought it was also quite emotionally challenging, because you feel completely different. You feel like you're smaller. You feel like everybody's looking at you. It's kind of like you're the show. Everybody's watching you to see what you do. And you just kind of feel different, I suppose.
And Jamie?
I really found this a really eye-opening experience, like as Anya was saying, and I really think everyone should have an opportunity to try this out just once or twice, because it will give you a whole different perspective. When you look at someone in a wheelchair down the street, you'll be able to empathise with them far more. You'll be able to, you know, you'll realise the difficulties that other people wouldn't realise.
Jamie, when we were shopping for gloves, you found yourself feeling claustrophobic?
Oh, certainly. Like, everything is just coming in alongside you. You're really low down, and, like, all the aisles are kind of narrow, and there's so many people in front of you. You just... Honestly, you can't even see the far side of the shop. You can't see where you're going. You're just kind of taking a leap of faith almost, just kind of keep going forward and hopefully I'll get there. I won't be taking a wrong turn and end up in the lingerie section.
Dominique, Anya and Jamie, thank you so much for going out and about, and I hope you all get an A in your module. Okay.
Thanks very much.
Very good, and we hope that he gets out of the lingerie section, like that scene from Father Ted when they all got lost in the lingerie section.
That's
remember
right.
that?
I was reminded of that, but that was Anya, Jamie and Dominique.
Jamie, yeah.
And they are third year students in DCU, and they did come in on the bus, they went out on the bus.
Well, that's what I want to ask you. So yeah. It's a very interesting experiment, and we want to talk to Olin in just a moment about one or two points that came up in that. But so they left the Shelburne Hotel.
No, they left DCU.
Yeah.
The Irish Wheelchair Association fully supported the exercise and they gave them the chairs. So they got the chairs. They went from DCU on the bus, off the bus into town, into the Gresham Hotel, met me. We went off and did our experiments there. Then they went for a coffee.
I don't
and back
want to be. Did you see
home.
Them getting on the bus?
No, I didn't.
Okay, right.
No, but they were traumatised after they got off the bus. They found it.
I mean, did they get out of the
difficult.
Chair when they're getting on the bus and then people were
no,
looking
no,
at them, seeing them walking?
Absolutely not. No, they had to sign an agreement to say that there were rules they had to go by. Like they couldn't ask for help unless it was absolutely like they were in danger or something like that. If they fell out of the chair, they couldn't ask for help to try and, you know, sort it out themselves. So, I mean, they had to sign a load of rules and part of it was that you couldn't actually ask for help and you couldn't get out of the chair. So
listening to it makes you think.
It was a real experiment.
Yeah, it makes you think. Olin, anyway, you're our producer and a wheelchair user. So what was it like for you the first time?
Well, it's funny, because remember when the girl said that she was very embarrassed? I listened to it. I said, God, you were embarrassed. And then I actually remembered my first time, my actual first time out of the rehab hospital 17 years ago. And I was totally freaked out. I thought, embarrassment. It wasn't even embarrassment. It was so far beyond. I thought it was real awkward and I was in people's way and stuff, you know. Mind you, I was in a, you know, I was in a tank of a wheelchair at that stage. The one I have now is extremely compact and lightweight and everything like that. But yeah, it was very curious and it kind of reminded me of that time when I first got out. By the way, I kind of said on that report, it sounded like I was encouraging people in a wheelchair to skip queues, which was really funny. I'm not encouraging people to skip queues, but I find a lot of the times, you know, I'd be in a queue in a supermarket or in you know, for buying a ticket or something like that, and people, especially on the continent, people would automatically come up and the manager or whatever would come over and just bring you to the top of the queue.
But do you want to be helped? Do you want to be put at the top of the queue?
No, I don't actually. I'm perfectly happy to wait like everybody else, although a friend of mine who is a real kind of dogged campaigner on behalf of disability rights, she said once, you know, I was interviewing her on a radio show, and she said once, you know what, if there's a little bit of favouritism, given the amount of obstacles that are put in my way, I won't say no. So I'm certainly not asking for it, but sometimes it's purely practical. Sometimes, you know, queues are in a particular place that's really awkward. It might be along a pavement or it might be along a buckety piece of road. And so the manager has a pure kind of, practicality will actually come over and say, but sometimes I have been in a queue for a supermarket, very happily queuing with everybody else, and some managers come over and literally grab the basket off my lap and say, come on over, I'll take you through here.
Brendan, will you just ask Olin there about, he drives a car.
Yes.
And I don't know
you
if,
can't
he,
ask him, no.
if he gets on the bus or he's ever had to get on the bus or not, but did he find it difficult? Will you ask him?
Olin, you drive a car, you might use a bus occasionally. Derek wants to know.
Does he?
Does that kind of thing annoy you? Do people still do that?
Yes.
Talk to the person standing beside
Actually,
you.
Now I get the point you're making.
Okay, well, I thought it was a bit subtle.
Yeah. Frequently happens. I'll be with a friend and I'll be in, say a clothes shop, and I'll say, do you have these shoes in this particular size? And I'll ask the question and they'll turn to whoever I'm with and
That's
they'll
outrageous.
Say, yeah. And they'll, whoever I'm with, and they'll address like Brenda here, and they'll say, you know, we have them in that size, yeah, and frequently, yeah. It's surprising how often that
happens.
Does
he take milk in his tea?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah, that's...
Well, actually, when you met the three students, you met an amazing point. You said to them, look, what frustrates me is not that I'm probably never going to climb to the top of Everest. It's not or I'm going to ski down a mountain. It's the little things like getting from A to B, getting into a shop, going to the cinema. It's they're the things. And when you can't do them or when there are obstacles in your way to do them, that's the frustrating thing.
The things that annoy you are not things that
user.
It's impossible to do. If something is impossible to do, you can live with it. Like, you know... play football for Dublin or, you know, whatever, you know. If it's impossible to do, you can absolutely live with that. That's fine. What's frustrating is when you find yourself in a situation where you're invited to a party and somebody has booked an upstairs room and there's these buckety old steps and there's no lift. So that's somewhere where, you know, I'd love to go to that party and it would be perfectly feasible for me to attend if the environment was laid out better or if the person booking would have kind of thought, well, I'm going to book somewhere that's accessible, even if it's upstairs, make sure it had a has a lift. But nobody gets hung up on stuff where it's impossible to do anyway, you know. So there are physical things for which, for, you know, that it's just impossible for me to do, like climb a mountain or whatever, you know.
Swim a lake.
But would you have done it anyway?
There's loads of things I'd love to have done. You know, all, for example, like,
when I see people running marathons, I think, oh, I wish I could do that. And I'm not going to. I won't be able to run a marathon, I don't think.
I'll give you an example.
It's only because I think I can't do it, I get frustrated that I can't do it.
Real practical example. We have a family tradition where on Christmas Eve or Stephen's Day, every single year, the extended family, myself, my brothers, their in-laws and whatever, and the extended family, all the boys go out and play a soccer game on Christmas Eve at about 11 o'clock in the morning. They all get out and, you know, and it's the McGowans against the Caseys and the extended family. I can't do that. I used to, but I can't anymore. Mm. Now, that doesn't actually bother me because it's physically impossible for me to do it anyway. It's kind of, you know, like to be there, but, you know, it can't be done. So that's fine.
But is it upsetting?
No, because it can't be done. So, but then again, if somebody went off and, as I say, booked a party or booked something in a venue that was absolutely inaccessible, that would be upsetting. Mm. That would be frustrating.
Because you think they don't want you to go?
No.
Just that they did.
No, I'm asking you. I mean,
no,
would you get a little bit paranoid about it and think, they know I'm in a bloody wheelchair. Could have made a little bit... paid more attention to detail when booking it than I could get in.
I know, I'm talking, where it's happened in the past has been people that I've been friendly with but haven't been really close to. All of my close friends and stuff would always kind of take that into consideration, our family. I'm talking about more where it's a general event, you know, and you're one of like 100 or 50 people who's been invited, you know, and it's more of an oversight than anything else. Or I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's more the person just has assumed that the venue will be accessible. A lot of people just
assume. Well, we kind of do, don't we?
Yeah. A lot of people assume, oh my God, I thought every place had to be
accessible. Nowadays, yeah.
Absolutely not, no.
And do people get, do people get pissed off with you? Do able-bodied, is that the correct term, get annoyed with you because you have the parking space, you could go to the top of the queue.
They get annoyed at me for a lot more reasons.
Yeah, there's other things to get annoyed with.
You're first on the plane, so you're holding everybody up.
You're actually not. No, I don't. I think people are generally very patient, but, you know, it's not all laid out for you the way people think it is. Definitely not. And I think actually more than anything else, you get people who actually sympathise with the obstacles you have to overcome. So no, people I think are very generally patient. How can I say, people like, we had three young people out there who were all around 20. Generally speaking, and for all those people who have a go at young people not being in touch, I find young people fantastic. Absolutely brilliant.
You're making yourself sound very old.
It is, yeah.
No, I'm
talking
about...
You're making me sound very old. You're
talking
stopping.
About
young.
Like,
well, I was hanging out with the young people. I'm young.
17,
young.
18, 19
year
old.
Any age.
Yeah. If I'm in doing my shopping and I'm you know, I got a huge big bag, there's typically a 17 or an 18 year old will say, are you okay? And they'll be really extremely giving and patient and just extraordinary sound about the whole thing.
You mentioned when you're going along in your wheelchair, you've got to watch out for the dog poo. And Helen from Kinsale has been on to say, Olin, don't come to Kinsale. It's the dog capital of the Western world, she says.
I was in Kinsale
really
a couple
that
of
bad? Well, I don't know if Kinsale is really that bad, but I mean, is it that
for
bad?
For the National Chowder Championships that I will be attending again this year in May. And I absolutely love Kinsale. I think it's absolutely brilliant. But
and is it the dog capital of the Western world?
I can't say I noticed, but I'll take a look out.
Wonder how it did
time.
In the tidy towns, because certainly in Strathan. Glad you asked me, Brenda.
Here we go now. Right. I knew it was going to come
myself
up.
Myself and Brenda are at the
Might
Cake
take
Club
a few
the other
days,
day. Very
but it
fancy.
Happen.
Because we're doing a big competition, just to remind
Club.
Everybody, with the Cake Club and the RTE Guide. Next Monday, when you get your copy of the RTE Guide, there is the wedding competition to top all wedding competitions, all-inclusive package and all in there. The reception, the pre-reception, the meal, the five-course meal, cars to and from the church. Anyway, you'll find out all the details in the RTE Guide, right? Next Monday, and we'll be talking about it on the show. But when I was driving past Liffey Valley. I don't know what that road is called. The N something or other, I'm
N3,
sure.
N34 Galway.
All the
road.
Way as far as Strathan. It's an absolute disgrace. An absolute disgrace. It is filthy. Filthy is not the word for it. Strathan is beautiful.
Stunning.
And they have a big sign up, Tidy Towns.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Strathan. And then you drive up to the K Club, wonderful, and then in. Not a piece of paper from Strathan into the K. Nothing. Yet the road, an absolute disgrace.
Well, I do actually notice. I mean, you do drive through towns.
They're
and
talking
you actually,
about the gathering. Yeah, they're talking about bringing absolutely. Everybody home, foreigners coming, talking about investment here, big industrialists coming in, and there's a lot of big factories there. And you drive along that road and you say, why would I bother? Place is filthy.
But
does anybody do
tidy
anything?
Towns, I would love, I'm not sure if it is, but I would love, and I think it should be, wheelchair access and disabled access, and how accessible you make your city, your town, should be a part of the criteria.
That's an excellent point,
for
Olin.
Tidy towns. And I don't think it is. I was in Abbey Leaks recently, absolutely amazing, fantastic place. They've done everything they can. I was in Belfast. It's an amazing city for access. And there are other places that aren't so good. So there you go. Make it a criteria.
Well, let's talk to the Tidy Towns people. And I know it was the Irish Businesses Against Litter. They brought their survey again yesterday, I think it was. We must talk to them too to find out how clean our cities are. Anyway, thank you very much indeed, Olin. It certainly made me think, and I'm sure lots of listeners, I'd love to hear your views on it.
Absolutely. And I think
report.
What was
Thanks
really interesting
can,
was, sorry.
Can I make one final point? I was on to Kathleen McLaughlin, who is the chief executive of the Irish Wheelchair Association, and she said that if there's anybody listening who kind of think, I'd love to try that for myself, contact your local Irish Wheelchair Association and they will try to help you out.
There are a few questions. Will you hang on for just a moment? Let's go to Newark, and I'm really sorry, Quiveny line. Patrick from Kinsale has been on. I feel very bad about this. I haven't been in Kinsale for a long time. My memory of Kinsale is a wonderful place, beautiful, full of lovely restaurants, lovely guest houses and hotels and all that kind of stuff. But at any rate, Patrick from Kinsale, if anybody wants to come on and contradict what Helen and Patrick are saying, feel free to do so, but I'll use my bell again. Helen from Kinsale is absolutely right, says Patrick. I'm just visiting from England, and Kinsale is the dog capital of Europe. Not so much in the town itself, but on the beautiful walks around the harbour, he says. So I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what people are saying. Hi, Derek. Is it true to say that facilities on continental Europe will actively take wheelchair users out of queues, along with babies and buggies and anybody not on two legs? I recall being in Paris with my two-year-old, and every public building queues were monitored. Security would come along and escort me through doors, open lifts and bring me to the top of the queues for tickets, etc. It is very useful. If you want to shoot around the galleries, borrow a baby.
Borrow a wheelchair user. Yes, that is true. That has been my experience all over continental Europe. In Nice, I remember it was in the Picasso Museum. Where is it? Barcelona. And also, in Austria, they do. They come up to you. You're in Vienna and wherever, you're queuing for something and they will. But in Nice, funny enough, I was in a normal supermarket and I was queuing and I had a basket and I had some food. And there was a sign, priority aux handicapés, it says, which is priority to be given to disabled people. And all of the people in the queue ahead of me stepped out of the way and beckoned me to come forward. And
really?
I just said,
that's very good.
And I just said, no, I'm fine. Grant.
So you don't want the special treatment? No. You're happy.
Yes and
sometimes
no,
you
I
do.
Think.
You know what? If it's of a practical value, yes. But if I'm just doing my normal thing, no. It's
you go out a lot. You go to theatres a lot.
Yeah.
Are theatres well equipped? I mean, do you get good seats in theatres?
By and large, yes.
Or they're shoved over to the side.
Some of the older theatres have, they vary enormously. Like the Olympia have actually put in a platform lift, which is fantastic. It's absolutely brilliant. Because if it's a standing gig, used to be a standing gig at the Olympia Theatre and you'd see absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now they've put in this platform lift and you wheel onto the lift and it goes straight up about 4 feet and you can brilliant view of everything. So fair play to the guys down there.
Because I know at soccer matches, you get good views. You're right on the pitch, pretty much.
Oh, the Aviva Stadium is brilliant.
Yeah, but
absolutely.
I'm just wondering about theatres. I mean, are you off at the side? I mean, do you have a good view?
Sometimes it's a little bit kind of frustrating, that the Borgash Theatre is very good. At the National Concert Hall, you kind of tend to be put at the very back of the auditorium, but it's still a fine view. Other theatres, they vary. I mean, what can I say? They vary.
Finally, Jean says, all architects should have to go through their creations in wheelchairs. As for disability loos, why is it assumed that you need a tiny basin with a tap that sprays a fine, useless spray?
This is a bone of contention.
I have had experience of wheelchair life on and off for several years. I could write a book on facilities in this country and others for people with disabilities, in particular the attitude in hotels towards those who have problems.
She is so right. Thank you very much for that email.
We discussed this, didn't we, Olin, about the sinks?
I do think architects should be, because I am stunned at what architects pass sometimes, absolutely blown away at the ridiculous kind of things that they feel are adequate, where they actually have signed off on buildings. And one of my main bones of contention is that if you go into a disabled toilet, you see this tiny little rinse bowl. That's all it is. It's a rinse bowl. It's not a sink. You couldn't wash your hands in it. It's literally a little rinse bowl. And it's a space-saving device as far as I'm concerned. I've been given various excuses as to why that is the particular thing that's used. But as far as I'm concerned, it's a space-saving device. And my attitude is, why don't you make the bloody space a tiny bit bigger and put in a normal basin for any kind of normal person to use?
Well, if there's any architects listening currently designing buildings, particularly public buildings,
absolutely, definitely,
bear that in mind. The Canberra Road is covered with dog. It's my bell isn't working.
This is becoming a theme.
It's awful, and there are also overflowing bins. Have all the litter wardens retired? I never see them around anymore, says one of our listeners. I have to tell you, and I hate to say it, and you don't want to be negative, you want to be positive, I know that. But there comes a time when you say, we're paying our taxes, and it seems to me like the roads are in a bit of a mess. They really are. When you drive around the country, when you walk around Dublin city centre and other cities, some of them are very clean. Yes, I'll grant you that. Some of them are very, very good, and they come up to European standards and all that kind of stuff. But in parts...
Well, there's another thing, and I said this to our three students. I don't get this obsession with cobblestones, this thing about how cobblestones are a fabulous part of our architectural heritage. They were horrible when they were laid in the 19th century, and they're horrible now.
Well, not everybody would agree with you. They were very functional when they were laid in the first place, Olin.
They weren't.
I don't think so.
They were the only... paving available at the time that was adequate for the kind of carts at that time.
Horses, yeah.
But they were far from ideal even at that time. But these were days before tarmac had them. But these days we have amazing, fabulous, glorious options for paving. And when you're in Belfast city centre, that entire city centre has been paved as a shopping district in beautiful modern paving. They've gotten rid of all those horrible old cobblestones.
I'm afraid I don't agree with you. When you walk through Temple Bar, there's something nice about it. However, when bottles get broken on them and smashed on them,
well, what about anybody in a buggy, anybody in high heels? Talking about from
a... Do I care?
What about your high heels, Terry? You have an autoplanics.
I take them off and I'm going to have
But what would you say to Trinity College? Would you pave that with modern pavement?
They've done it. Trinity College, right then, they have put inside Trinity College, they have put modern paving alongside the old paving. I'm not looking for them to get rid of it entirely. Well, I would like that. But at least take a look at it. It's impossible to get around there, you know. At least put in an alternative, a decent alternative.
All right, so have we done our public service? Is that it?
We have.
It's all going to talk about wheelchairs now for the rest of the year. I'm joking. In case I need to. There's still lots of text messages coming in. This one says, "I'm actually afraid to walk on the ramparts in Navan, which is the only nice walk in Navan. The place is covered in dog poo, and dogs are not kept on leads by the owners. It makes me sick." Hi guys, those people saying Kinsale is the dog poo central. I have never been to a thigh. I walk my kids to school here every morning and it's disgusting, the town and outside it. Derek, as someone who guides a disabled person, I'm disappointed at the number of special loos which have faulty stroke awkward locks and which do not have an appropriate mirror, says Philip. Thank you, Philip. Derek, here at the Wexford Opera House, wheelchair users can choose to sit on any of the three levels, saying that the building is only 5 years old, says Nikki. Yeah, we're in the Wexford Opera House.
Beautiful,
and it is a beautiful building. And we must do a Mooney Tunes from there. This year. Hi all, great topic. It reminds me of when I had my first baby. We're going to be talking about baby food in just a moment. And heading out in the world with a pram. Yes, I know it's a far cry from a wheelchair, but the bullies I came across on the streets changed my view to both mothers and wheelchairs. What's worse is people who text while walking. They just don't see you, says Barbara.
Barbara's making very strong points there. We're all, you've mothers in the studio agreeing with her.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Sinead is here as well. This one says, why are baby changing facilities always in wheelchair toilets? Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the most part. And it's very
frustrating. They double up, really.
Why is it frustrating, Sinead? Well, this is Sinead Renshaw, our broadcast coordinator, if you want to complain about her. Go on, yeah.
Stroke travel expert. Sorry, Sinead. Go on, keep going.
If you have a baby who needs their nappy changing, and when the baby needs the nappy changing, it's fairly urgent that you get it done straight away. And you go and...
Although it's too late then, you might as well wait.
Well... and the bathroom is occupied by a wheelchair user who wants to... you know, obviously use the bathroom, and that's fair enough, but you shouldn't have to decide, is it a baby that, you know, sort of gets changed, or is it a wheelchair person? There shouldn't be sort of this thing of who takes priority. There should be separate facilities for both.
I suppose they think there's never going to be a crush. Isn't that it? I mean, yeah. How many times, unless you're at a specific event organised for wheelchair users and people who have babies with them, they probably don't think there's ever
a lot.
Which is why there's not 100 car parking spaces for wheelchair users and mammies. By the way, I have a problem with the mammies and wheelchair business, the mammies and babies thing.
Do you?
When you go to IKEA, they're all near the door. What about people who have bad backs?
There isn't
a sign up for people with bad backs who have to carry the bloom and stuff out. They've paid their money as well. Just because you've got a little baby with you.
This is absolutely true. But
as Olin said, take the advantage where you can get it. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Well, can I tell you, I always park in the mammy and baby thing.
We've had this before. You do not, Derek Mooney. I do.
Bad boy.
I do. Why not? What's the problem?
Because you don't have a baby.
But can I tell you, a
lot of people who turn up don't have babies with them either.
And that's bad as well.
And they park there. There might be mammies, but they don't have babies.
We covered this on the show
them.
Where I interviewed people
who we did. It was a fabulous
item, obviously.
Then here you borrow my bell for a minute if I say it again. I wonder, could the Mooney Show appeal to people not to park in wheelchair spaces? Now, I'd never do that. I think it's despicable when they have only a couple of spaces. I totally agree with you and concur with that. Derek, don't disabled people advocate equal treatment in life? Why would they want to skip queues, which would just highlight their disability and anger and frustrate the less sympathetic people in society, says Jim in Clontarf. And Olin was saying that he was just saying, but he wasn't encouraging people to go and skip queues, in fairness to him, or is it a bit of a senior moment like last night's Frontline? Is that what he actually said? I can't remember. Can I tell you that the text machine is filling up? This says, I'm an ex-student of Letterfrack Furniture College, which specialises in design. When I was a student in 2007, I took part in an experiment where I had to use a wheelchair for a few days to see what I could and could not do. When I was in college, I started building a bed and breakfast. Also, I discovered in research the lack of B&Bs that are fully compatible for disabled people. My B&B is fully accessible for people in wheelchairs, and I went to greater lengths than standards required. I'm very disappointed in the lack of uptake of the use of the facility I'm offering. We are here to welcome people who have to use wheelchairs. The B&B is called Cloon River near Westport in County Mayo. Well, I suppose they say, what they say, build it and they'll come. Isn't that the old saying? But maybe they just don't want to go to Cloon River near Westport in County Mayo. But if you do, now you know all about it. So thank you very much indeed for that message. 3 years ago, I broke my ankle on December 5th. I was unable to do any shopping unless I had crutches. My daughter and I hired a wheelchair for the day and went to the Dundrum Shopping Centre. When we got into the lift, there was a lady operating it. She turned to my daughter and said, where does she want to go? I was really horrified. It was as if I didn't have a brain or a voice. And that's kind of point I was making to Olin. Does that still happen? But I didn't know they had lift operators in Dundrum.
I've never come across
town centre, to be honest with you.
Operator there.
Oh, it says Dundrum Shopping Centre. Now, the shopping centre is different to the town centre.
Yeah.
Because the old shopping centre is there in Dundrum Village. And then the town centre is up a little bit further. I don't know where you're talking about. Can't really say anything more about that. Derek is a bold child. Why am I bold? This one says, Derek, dog poo on footpaths is dreadful for people with vision impairment. It can cause a bad fall, says Brody, for not just people who happen to be in wheelchairs. I totally agree with you.